are so welcome to the Roundtable Podcast. This is week 7. We've had 6 podcasts so far, and you are so welcome. And today I have an incredible panel here with me today. I got Candice Keyser.
Yes.
Kaiser, still to be debated. I have PJ Booth and Elizabeth Booth.
Great to have you.
Yes.
Great to have you. Of course. I know you two a little bit more as mom and dad, as many will know, and also the founding pastors of Open Arms Church. And today we are going to discuss and talk about fear. And the reason really is because we're leading up to Halloween. The celebration of fear and darkness, not to mention that we've been living in really one of the greatest times in our generation of fear and panic because of a global pandemic. And today we're going to look at how we as humans, not alone Christians or non-Christians, but just humans, we tend to buy into fear when we tend to allow fear into us. And we also tend to spread fear through our, not just through our tongues, but now through our thumbs. And I'm not pronouncing my THs there, but forgive me for that. And then just looking at how we can biblically and theologically live in the midst of fear, knowing that that feelings of fear is not a bad thing. Okay, it's a very normal, natural thing. But how can we live in fear and live in a place of darkness, being surrounded by darkness, but without allowing it to negatively influence us? And then also to not only just learn that for ourselves, but bring up our children in the same way. And so I want to just begin by asking a very general question. But when looking in this last season, right, what impact do you think that fear has had on our lives in these last few months?
I think that's a very big question. I think for so many people, fear has had a really big impact over these last few months. And I think fear has kind of created for many this underlying sense of anxiety where maybe they're far more snappy or they're far more short or they're far more nervous about the future. And I think fear can kind of create this distrust of our world, of society, of our future, and of Jesus, in fact. And I think like trust is one of the foundational building blocks for a relationship with Jesus. And so I think when that trust in Jesus starts to erode, our relationship with him can start to erode as well. So I think it's had a really big impact. And I've had to personally catch myself a few times where suddenly I'm expecting the worst or waiting for the worst thing to happen and so fearful of what could happen. And I've had to pull that in and look back at Jesus many times over these last few months
really
for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about yourself?
I think, you know, for a lot of people losing their jobs, being laid off, school, college, exams, the unknown, of course, that brings in fear. Because what's going to happen? Will I finish my exam? Will I be let go this time? Will the pub remain open where I'm working? Is my part-time job gone forever? Will I have enough income? And all of the unknown brings in a lot of fears and a lot of different emotions are built up. So people, even for me, you know, when this began in March, I said, okay, we'll be okay by June. Okay, we'll be okay by September.
Now it's October.
And I'm thinking, will we be okay even by 2021 or is it going to go on to 2022? And so you have to really grasp that. But there is a lot of fear around, and I think the unknown is going to breed more fear.
Well, fear, it's a very distressing emotion, and it's aroused when we face impending danger, pain, suffering, loss. So fear arises in our hearts, and people have been faced with these things quite a lot in the last few months. And so when that fear grips us, we have a sense of we're not in control. And being out of control makes you feel powerless. And, you know, so it's these things that when we look at these things and see, acknowledge our fears, because a lot of the times they're buried deep within us. We think life is great if it's rolling along okay. But I tell you, when a crisis or a trauma hits, then everything within us that is negative comes to the surface. And so it's helping people during this time, as Christians, as believers, as the church and the body of believers, how to address fears, how to acknowledge fears, how to even know that I have them, because sometimes they're buried so deep that we don't even know that they're there.
And you know, I think especially now, and this is why I wanted to speak on this subject, because we all know in these last number of weeks in Ireland in particular, and probably more so in Europe and throughout the world, is that the cases are rising. Mm. It feels like the world is on a knife edge in the sense that there's so much tension and uncertainty, as you said, and people are more anxious and fearful than ever. And then over these next 2 weeks, especially Irish people are going to celebrate Halloween. which is the celebration and the glorification of fear and horror and being scared. And so what do you think our fascination with fear is? Like, where does this come from as Irish people?
Right. Well, I think Irish people were the instigation of a lot of it from the Celts and Druidism and all this stuff. But also, you know, people don't always see it as celebrating fear. They just sometimes think it's a good, going to have a good time. But we are fascinated by the supernatural. Mm. Everybody is fascinated. Not everybody, but a lot of people are fascinated by the supernatural. So it's how do we direct our interest and people's interest, you know, from, we'll say, fearful supernatural things like spooks and ghosts and things like that that we wanted, we put on our doors and, you know, put in our front gardens. I mean, I've seen headstones in the front garden that said R.I.P. And I'm thinking, you know, it's an opportunity to talk about death to people, but they sometimes want to make it humorous or non-threatening or things like that. And, you know, so it's getting to... I'm losing it now here.
That's okay.
I was going grand, I got confused.
It's so funny because obviously I come from such a different context, and like in South Africa... we don't really celebrate Halloween and commercially it's not a thing. Like the stores don't like convert to this like orange pumpkin. Like it doesn't happen, you know, in South Africa. And so for me, it was so different. But over the last 2 years, I have realized being here that you there's people on such different sides of the spectrum. There's those who are very much against it.
Yeah.
And then there's those who they just want the sweets and they just want to dress up.
Yeah.
And so I'm still learning about this and learning why are people so fascinated with this. And I'm on a journey with that. I'm still learning.
Yeah. And I think you're right. You're on a journey with it. And it's because it has become so commercialized in Ireland. I remember as a little kid, I did go around doors. I didn't dress up, but you went around doors and you sang a song and you said a poem and people were delighted to see you and all that. But now, you know, the dress up. It can be fun to dress up.
Yeah.
It's our understanding of the motives behind it. People want their kids to have a good time. Kids love to dress up. And that's why we always had a festival here. We always had put on something to celebrate Halloween so that parents could come to it. It was a safe place to take their children.
Yeah.
And children got the opportunity to get the sweets and have the fun. So maybe us talking about it will maybe help people ask questions.
Yeah, you know? And I think that's the biggest thing because, you know, Levi, our eldest, he has a fascination with not just Halloween, but scary things.
Yeah.
Like loves Scooby-Doo or like he's seen now because, you know, it's always on Netflix, you see the pictures and Casper.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit because he's not allowed to that he's like fascinated.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is a sense of, I don't know, just experiencing that and being exposed to it, people are fascinated with it.
Yeah.
And I do think it's important to say, maybe PJ, you could talk a little bit more on it, is, you know, we're, as the church, okay, specifically speaking as Open Arms, we're not against Halloween or against dressing up or we're not anti that whatsoever. But it is at the same time, like I said, asking the questions and being aware to what point will allow this into me and I into it?
Yeah.
Right.
What would you say?
Again, I think getting back to the fact of why are we fascinated with fear? I think we all like a fright. You know, someone comes on fright, you laugh and you giggle. And there's endorphins released or there's things released. And then when it comes to Halloween, the fact is I'm not afraid of Halloween. I think because I speak probably before more about the light than I do about the darkness. When Sean was young, we would go around trick or treat. You'd get fruit, all right, and all kinds of nuts and different things. But what we were making sure is that we wouldn't put a skeleton on you, or we wouldn't put a ghost on you. You know, put Superman, Batman.
Yeah.
So there's different ways of approaching it. So we're certainly not against. It's like it would be like being against Christmas, being against whatever summer holidays.
Yeah.
But it's how we educate. The one thing I'm very aware of right now, at my age, I won't look at a scary movie. Because I know that I'll be scared. But the problem is when I turn the movie off, there's stuff left in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So my whole thing is okay, let's come along and have a party and make it God-honoring, make it community, have fun, have a laugh, have bouncy castles, do all that stuff with our kids, and have fun of it. But let's not just go into the dark end of it.
Yeah.
So that balance, just find the balance.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Well, let's shift the conversation in to more biblically and looking at what does the Bible say about this? What does God say about this? And, you know, probably when I was thinking about it, and thinking about not allowing fear. Again, fear is a very natural part. Yeah. We experience it. Every biblical hero that you read, when you even read about Jesus, he shed tears of blood, a sweat and blood from the fear, the stress that was going on in him as he was about to take the cross. So fear is not bad, but allowing it to grip us and debilitate us.
Yeah.
God does say a lot about that. And when the scripture that I love, so one of the first scriptures I learned is Joshua 1, is do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for I am the Lord your God and I am with you wherever you go. So with God, I don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
All right? But what is the biblical perspective on fear?
Right. Elizabeth?
Yeah, well, fear is talked about a lot in the Bible. Yeah. And for me, you know, God is always telling us to fear not, but we are told also to fear the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So in our lack of understanding maybe of the biblical background and the Greek and
Hebrew.
I don't even know, you know, that we have one word for fear of the Lord, where it's about reverence.
Yeah.
It's about respect. It's about honor. Yeah. It's about God being merciful, because he is the God of mercy. So our fear, and equating it then with the biblical fear, can be worlds apart.
I think one of the scriptures that I certainly keep coming back to is so what's the opposite of fear?
Mm.
You know, and we always think, well, it's quietness and it's peace and whatever else. But let me just read, it's 1 John 1:4-18, it says, there is no fear in love.
Yeah.
But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Mm. Yeah.
So rather than fear, we need that love. And when we come back to understand that God is love, and we have to keep coming back, because the same thing, when you think of the pandemic, you think of Halloween, you think of the darkness and the ghouls.
Yeah.
And if I'm on my own as PJ, okay, that can be scary stuff. But if I'm a Christian, and if I am in Christ, and if he is the Lord and ruler of all the earth, and he is perfect love, and I am in him, there is no fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a fact of the lives is acknowledging that fear is an emotion, acknowledging the fact that I'm born without fear, so fear is a learned behavior.
Yeah.
And then we get into patterns of learned behavior.
Yeah.
And then we come along and you become a Christian, you begin to realize who God is. Who am I in God? Look at this scripture and say, okay, I don't need to be afraid. Lord, help me to trust in you more than I trust in the fear, more than I trust in the action, more than I trust in the fact that I'm going to lose my job or the demons are going to come for me or whatever it might be. No, I am hidden in Christ.
Yeah.
He is love. And in love, there is no fear.
Yeah.
So it's getting back to that thing.
Yes.
Really is. And the same thing with the whole idea of people talk about the spirit of fear. There's these spirits going around. There's only one reference to it in the King James Version that says, I have not given you a spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other reference to spirits of fear other than that. It's other spirits and demonic influence that can cause you fear.
Yeah.
But we're not surrounded by these demonic forces with spirits of fear. That's not the reality of it is.
Yeah.
So it's getting back to our biblical thinking, who God is, who I am, and Lord, help me with my fear.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, the Bible refers so many times to do not fear, do not fear. And I think what's important is not to reside in our fear. I think it's very normal to be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't have told Joshua, do not fear, if he wasn't feeling fear.
Yeah,
like,
we all fear.
We all feel that. And that's very normal. But I think it's important not to reside in that fear and to be content and to become stuck in that fear. Yeah. And I think even for me personally, I struggled and faced gripping fear, paralyzing fear for many, many, many years. And I had to figure out how to not stay there, because if I had stayed there, I actually don't know where I would be today. Mm-hmm. I had to choose not to reside and be okay with just being afraid of so many different things. But I had to, like you said, PJ, let 1 John 4:18 expel. Let the love of Jesus expel that fear. And I think as a Christian, I could have felt very guilty. And I did feel guilt. Oh, I'm such a bad Christian for being so afraid. Like, I shouldn't be so afraid. But I think as you said, acknowledge it's okay, but then don't stay there.
Yeah.
Take it to Jesus, talk to people, which I'm sure we'll chat about in a minute. But his love can expel that fear and help you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to teach the kids at the moment. It's something that you taught me when, you know, and I think, and I want to bring that into what it's like for adults, but as kids, especially going to bed, you know, I'm scared. And sometimes they're not, but they're trying to keep us awake and everyone in the house awake. And it's just teaching. I was talking to Levi yesterday. I was just teaching it with Jesus at all times. Even if your mom and dad aren't around or you're on your own, you have Jesus and in him and with him and calling on him. You know, you can feel afraid, but know that I'm not going to be afraid because he's with me.
Yeah.
But this is what the question I want to ask, because I do believe that there is a lot of people struggling with sleep in particular due to fear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that you would give practically? Because, you know, what you just even saying about recognizing those things and knowing those things, but practical things in which we can do, particularly at night. Because it tends to be when the darkness sets in, the fear rises.
Yeah. Right.
What would you say are some of the practical things?
Well, first of all, I think the first step is, what is causing my fear?
Yeah.
That's very important. Because if you're leaving it till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning to come up with a battle plan, you're probably a little bit late then. So I think you have to have a strategy about, okay, so what am I afraid of? I'm afraid that God doesn't love me. I'm afraid that all the stuff I've done in the past is coming back to haunt me. I'm afraid it's payback time. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid Elizabeth's going to leave me. I'm afraid. You got to figure out, what am I afraid of?
And
look at it and figure it out. And do talk to another human being. Talk to someone with flesh on. It's really, really important.
Yeah, because our instinctive response to fear is fight or flight.
Yeah.
And that's not very good at resolving conflict, you know, and especially conflict within ourselves. So you have to look at, you know, what is the antidote to fear? And it's love. Yeah. That's what the Bible tells us, that, you know, love casts out fear. So it's how we mature in that love of God, a love of ourselves. There's a flow that goes on, the love from God to ourselves and to others. And fear is the greatest thing to hinder that flow of love, even internally in ourselves, fear. And so when you talk about, you know, at nighttime, these thoughts can become more overwhelming at nighttime, because now at last you're settling down at the end of the day and you're looking back at what happened, and fear is inside us. And so we battle. And the thing is, as PJ says, you got to face the fear.
Yeah.
A lot of the time we don't take the time to actually look and see, what is the fear? You know, it's just so overwhelming. It can be all those things you said, like a fear of failure. I failed at everything. Well, obviously you haven't failed at everything, but you might have failed at something. Yeah. And that something could be raising its head and you want to just chop it off. The thing is to allow God's Holy Spirit to let the light shine on that fear, and that you then bring it to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I am so inadequate here. I don't know what's going to happen. And that's the thing, we don't maybe know what's going to happen and we feel out of control. And so instead of fight and flight, that we come to accept that I'm weak in this area, that I have no control in this area, Lord, and I'm going to surrender this fear into your hands. The deepest, darkest thing that I fear, I am giving it to you. It could be losing a spouse. It could be losing a job. It could be fear of exposure about something maybe you've done wrong or whatever. And it just grips your life so much. And it's just saying, right, Lord, let your light shine on this. Let me be aware that I haven't control over the outcome. I only have control over me. And so I am so thankful that God is in control. God is sovereign. He knows the beginning from the end.
You know how I practically do it, and I want to ask you too how you practically do it, but I journal, I write it out. I feel like it's concrete. I can see it and quite like that. I need to see it. But and actually say those words, you know, fear of failure. And that's, you know, often something for me, I'm like, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? What happens if that happens? And it's come to place, where is that originating from? Mm.
Yeah.
And how can I settle that in my heart? Mm. And then I literally write the words, Lord, help me too. Or I surrender. Or I give you control. Because I haven't got control.
No.
And it could all fail. We could all fall apart. What about you? What do you do practically?
I think even just sitting down, just thinking back to my personal experience, because it was probably about 8 years where I was gripped with fear daily. Couldn't sleep. Woke up every single night. Yeah. And it was a really long journey for me that I had to, I couldn't move out the house. I couldn't, there were so many things. I couldn't close a window. I couldn't walk down a passage. It was all consuming. And there came a point where I had to say, okay, I can't live with this fear consuming me anymore. And so a few things that I did, one, I saw a counselor. And I spoke to someone, like you said, someone with flesh on. And these were all things I deliberately had to make the decision to not choose my fear anymore, but to choose faith. And so the way I did that was I went and saw a counselor. And so often fear can be patterns of thought that I've thought over and over and over and over. And they're irrational, but they're so real to the person who's feeling that fear. They're so real. And so going to a counselor takes that train of thought and helps you almost shift the train tracks to help you stop thinking that way, to process those thoughts, get to the bottom of those thoughts. I saw a counselor. I had scripture written out beside my bed. And so if you are struggling with sleep, I had scripture written out on a piece of paper that the moment I woke up, I'd pick up that piece of paper and would read and would keep reading until I could read. In the beginning, I
couldn't. Don't you listen to worship music? Or do
that's
you,
coming. That that's coming. Oh, okay. That's point number. But in the beginning, I was so afraid I couldn't even read the scripture, but I had to get to a place where I could actually read it out loud. Sometimes we have to learn how to breathe. Yeah. And a counselor would help you to do that, how to breathe properly, how to slow down your breathing, because you can get so caught up in that. I filled my house, filled the atmosphere with worship, because worship is faith building. So I played lots of worship music throughout the day. And I had to start choosing who to surround myself with, people who were going to feed my fear or people who were going to feed my faith.
That's really good. Yeah.
And then the last thing was I had to choose not to isolate myself, because fear loves to grow in the dark, literally and figuratively. But I had to choose not to isolate myself, but to bring people into that space. Mm-hmm. And share that fear with people and get them to help me. Yeah. Getting someone to help is a good thing.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's excellent. And I think everything Candy is saying is back to that scripture, hold every thought captive unto the Lord. Because, you know, people ask, well, how do you do that? Well, that's how you do that. But back to my original thing is, don't wait till 2 o'clock in the morning. Have a plan. Have your worship day. Have your scriptures. Have your people. Have everything lined up during the day, because the battle is in our mind, and it's an ongoing battle. And if you begin to win the battle beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning, right, it will get better at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's no doubt about it. But it's an ongoing battle. It's an ongoing journey. And I think one of the things is that we don't criticize Christians. We don't criticize ourselves. It's just part of our humanity. It's part of the fallen nature. There are times that I'm filled with fear, and then I need to come back and overcome it by being filled with the Spirit of God and with faith in God.
And fear can be helpful, because it can prevent you from getting into danger, you know, as well. But growing up in Ireland, while I didn't grow up with a biblical mandate or, you know, principles, my faith a lot of the time was based on fear. Like, you know, God was going to get you. Now I hear it referred to quite often as karma. And I think for a lot of people, they're going to now be confusing God with karma. Oh, it'll come back to you. You know, and so you're living in that. If you walk under a ladder, oh, that was bad luck. Everything was so much superstitious. Don't cut your nails on a particular day, you know, and things like that. And so, you know, we get to the stage then that we don't know the truth from the lie. Or from the superstition. And for me, it was when I started to read God's word. It is getting the truth of God's word into your heart, into your mind, so that it does battle with these fears when they come against you. So, you know, it's really important to realize our belief systems and what they are. And maybe they are not actually based on the truth of what God says. Yeah.
Well, you've all shared great things there. And I think for anyone who is listening and who is feeling fearful, And you've given them great encouragement there. And I can, you know, for us as a church, we really value counseling, yeah. speaking yeah. to someone. Mm. You know, it doesn't always have to be a counselor. No. It can be wise yeah. counsel yeah. who's yeah. around you. But choosing someone to speak to mm. and saying those words, I am fearful, mm. recognizing yes. what they are, mm. You know, receiving mm. the word of God in, mm. but then going on that journey. For me, I remember after I had... my head injury there last year, and it was really struggling with anxiety for months and months and months afterwards. Mm. And the counselor got me to a place to do breathing exercises. Mm. Yeah. And it was discovering that I wasn't anxious, but I wasn't breathing right. Yeah. And I was holding my breath. So it was, you know, obviously yeah. because of fear and worry yeah. and anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I wasn't like, I need this anxious wreck. But I needed to learn how to breathe. And the practical thing of learning how to breathe, I do a lot of meditation now,
yeah.
you know, Christian meditation, yeah. spiritual yeah. meditation.
Yeah.
And I'm calm and I can yeah. breathe fine. And the fear, worry, yeah. anxiety dissipates.
Yeah.
So I do think for anyone who is feeling fearful, mm. there's so much yeah. truth there.
Mm.
And as we kind of wrap it up and come to the end, I want to come back to the whole idea of opening ourselves up to fear, especially during this time, right? So coming towards Halloween, yeah. but also turn on Sky News,
mm-hmm.
RTE, you know, any other news platform, Facebook, Instagram, everything. It's not all just the good things and the insecurities it can breed. It can also be fear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what would you say to that practically closing off the doors of fear?
I think this picture I had in my mind of two dogs. And whichever dog you feed more is going to grow more. Mm-hmm. And so if we gave them names, let's give one dog the name Fear and the other dog the name Faith. And whichever dog you feed more is actually going to grow. So practically, if watching the news is not helpful and it's feeding the dog of fear, then don't watch that for a while. If doing a Bible study with a friend or putting on worship music is going to help feed your faith, do that. And I think, PJ, even as you were saying, 1 John 4... Verse 4 says, "Dear children, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And it just reminds me, you know, all these things with Halloween coming, the news, people can be so afraid, but then they engage in it. And it's just recognizing, hey, you know what? The one who is in me is greater than all this. I have the light, and darkness cannot extinguish the light. And that's in John 1, verse 5. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the light is in me, and I don't have to be afraid, but I'm also responsible. And so I do have to do something. So maybe don't watch that movie or don't put on the news or have that conversation. So what are you going to feed?
Right. That's very good. Excellent. I think the other reality of this as well is also looking at the news, but looking at it with an informed mind.
Yeah.
Mm. I hear people saying, well, life was never like this before. This is terrible. It's the end of the earth. It's the end of the world. Well, First World War, Second World War, millions and millions Civil of people War. Wiped out Civil War, you know, the Spanish flu and all that. So life has been pretty bad up to now as well, okay? Mm-hmm. And yet we have managed to survive. But for me, the key has to keep coming back. So obviously we're in Colossians at the moment, mm-hmm. and I'm studying this because I'm going to be speaking in a couple of weeks' time. Colossians 1:15 says, "He," speaking of Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, including viruses and the whole lot, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." So I am hidden by the Creator, the one who made everything, who sustains everything, who holds matters together. So is this a global pandemic? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I have to keep my distance? Yes. Will I wash my hands? Yes. And wear my... Of course I will. I will use common sense. Mm. I will watch the news. I will read the papers. I will look at the stats and realize that this is... God is not surprised. He will bring me through. He has brought us through the past. He will bring me through this. But he will probably teach me a good lesson about peace and trust and faith right through it. So God, what are you teaching me this moment?
Right. I think we have to honestly face our fears, look where they started from, because usually they don't start by watching the news or something like that. Mm. There's a huge fear inside of us, and we have to see where that comes from. And for me, living free from fear is living a life that is trusting God and surrendering to His will. Because we can serve two masters. It can be my way or His way. And, you know, Frank Sinatra, and we all seem to gravitate towards that song, "I Did It My Way." I don't want it to be doing my way. I want to do it His way. But is that a battle for me to do it His way? Because inherently there's that propensity to want it my way. So I have to go back when these things assail my life, with these traumas, crises, pandemics, awful situations arise, that I come back to say, right, Lord, I am going to trust you because you are the light of the world. You are the Prince of Peace. And so I'm going to trust you with my life, with my future, with my family. I mean, many times as a mother, I had to trust you to the Lord and accept whatever was going, when the deepest fears I would have had maybe about you and for you. And I had to say, right, Lord, I'm trusting you. I have no control over the future or the situation. Mm. And out of that, out of me surrendering to His will, I have found peace. Mm. And I think that peace is there for all of us.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's very freeing to live that way.
That's what being free is about.
Very. Yeah.
And so, I'll finish with this. And, you know, Candy, you are a next generation's pastor overseeing kids and youth in both locations. And ma'am, you have, you know, studied child psychology and, you know, really had a great experience with children and in kids' church and Sunday school for decades. So for every parent that's out there, like myself, and practically coming up to Halloween and all that, how would you encourage parents to allow their children maybe to celebrate, okay? Mm-hmm. And we already talked about that. Dress up.
Yeah.
Get some sweets. Obviously, there's no knocking on doors this year.
Not this year.
You're just your own kid, your own sweets that you're going to give them. But also be aware of that balance of fear and not celebrating the darkness and the horror and the fear in that way. Mm. But living with that, how would you encourage a parent?
Well, for me, a huge thing that would help children is what they look at on TV and in movies, because that's where their active imagination like just seizes these things, and suddenly they're in the middle of the movie and they, you know, want. And when you say about Levi gravitating towards the bad guy, see, there's that in all of us, because no one's controlling me. You know, dad and mom are not controlling me. I'll be the bad guy. I can do what I like. And it's, again, teaching children how to make good decisions for their lives, and not based on fear, but based on love, that you love them. And I explain, but that takes time. And it takes us recognizing our own inadequacies and how we try to cover them up sometimes. And we will be the boss or the controller of these little people. But I think it's also a time to celebrate. You're right. We should be having the biggest parties as Christians. We should be having the biggest parties anytime there's an occasion to have a party, and be the most generous and loving people in the neighbourhood. Now, I've never been at home in Moorfield Park on Halloween because I've always been in church. Yeah. So maybe this year, if somebody comes around, I'll be ready. Because I want to bless.
I don't think there's anyone coming around.
No, but you're coming around.
With their boss. We're
for next year. Yeah, yeah.
But, let's do it
really
because
good.
We're motivated by love. Yes. Love for our neighbour. Yes. You know, we love them.
And we don't need to fear.
No.
No,
you
know, no.
We can
no.
enjoy that. Of course. Yeah. What would you say, Candy?
Yeah, I think for our teenagers, and then even for our parents who are responsible for our little people, is I would say two things. Like, one, I think there should be a gauge or a standard of what we expose ourselves to, like in the movies. And I think for so many of our young people, the movies they watch, the music they listen to, the books that they read, the holes we go down on Instagram. And I would just say, if anything doesn't reflect the heart of Jesus, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't personally, for myself, I don't watch certain series, certain things on Netflix have come up recently. And I just say, I know that that is not going to feed my soul. Mm. And I'm like, why do I want to, why do I want to do something that's going to subtract from my peace rather than add to my peace? What for, you know?
Yeah.
My life's not going to be richer watching it. So why watch it? And I think the second thing is very important for our parents is to have a conversation with your child. Mm-hmm. Because they're at school and the kids are getting ready for Halloween and they're getting dressed up. And maybe if you're not doing that, don't just leave it, but have a conversation with them. Talk to them about it. Yeah. Sit down with them. And Liz, I so agree. Celebrate. Make pumpkin waffles or have a movie night at home and buy sweet. Make your own little sweet packs at home for your kids if they can't go out. But make a decision that as a home, this is what we believe. Yeah. These are our values. This is our standard. And be united as a family in that. But have the conversation with the child. Don't just leave it. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll find ways behind your back to expose themselves to it. So, that's what I would say.
That's good. That's excellent. Brilliant. Thank you so much. And so as we finish, I just wonder, as I was just thinking as we're talking again, going back to how many people are watching and listening, feeling fearful, feeling like they're being gripped, suffocated with that fear. Would you pray for anyone who's feeling like that as we finish out?
Yes, indeed. So, Father, Lord, you see all of these people right here, right now.
Yes,
Lord, you know what's going on in our hearts. You know the emotion. Lord, you know the fear that can come up and just grasp as if we can't breathe. And I pray, Father, that by the power of your Spirit, that the Prince of Peace would come upon these people. Mm. Lord, even people who are listening right now don't know you, that they might call in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, for those who know you and know you as Father and know you as the lover of their souls, even that we would surrender again. So, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust my fears. I'm going to trust my family. I'm going to trust everything about it. And I'm going to trust even the virus. I'm going to trust everything because I put my trust in you, the one who holds heaven and earth, the stars and the entire planets. You are Lord of all. I give you lordship over my fear right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And for everyone that's watching, hope that encouraged you. And don't forget, next Sunday, 10:30 and 12:30, we're going to have continuing on in our series, Good News. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.